This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Ladies and gentlemen, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And I have... That's so nice.
Oh, yeah. They
That's like a drink of cold water right there. I've been off for a week. I've missed you. I also missed a lot of news, which I did not miss. But there's some new news about the news, because CNN is cutting back on overhyping everything as breaking news, which means... Yes. Which means overhyping everything is now up for grabs, so we have breaking news. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you shocked and terrified to report that what I'm saying right now means nothing. It is all a false sense of urgency to keep you captivated long enough to get to the next Lipitor commercial. And hold on, is this... I have to break into this breaking news with a breaking news alert. At 11:38 Eastern Time, host of The Late Show, Stephen Colbert, is feeling a bit snacky. Now, the story is... This story is still developing. No word yet on how and if it will ever resolve. Stephen, tell me, my friend, what are you hearing?
Well, I don't know how Bubba's real name. Thanks, Stephen. Now.
Now, it was subtle, but you may have noticed we used some of CNN's graphics there. We found them in a dumpster behind the network next to Chris Cuomo and CNN Plus. Why are you awing? None of you watched it. According to an internal memo, CNN is cutting back on the breaking news graphic because its impact has become lost on the audience, and CNN should be focused on informing, not alarming viewers. And with CNN out of the game, that'll leave plenty of alarming for the folks over at Fox News. In fact, they are now counter-programming with Tucker Carlson's new show, Look Out, Gay Immigrants Are Coming for Your Penis. Now, today, of course, is June 6th, and you know what that means. It's National Yo-Yo Day. It also means it's exactly 17 months since the January 6th insurrection. And this Thursday, the January 6th committee is set to make its case public with primetime hearings. The insurrection, yeah. That's right. The insurrection is going primetime. Get ready for your new favorite show, America's Got Treason. Now, we might actually get some answers from these hearings because due to a Kevin McCarthy hissy fit, the only Republicans on the January 6th committee are noted critics of the big lie, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. So, unlike the insanely combative impeachment hearings, these primetime hearings might function normally. It'd be like an episode of The Real Housewives without any wine. Luann, we just ate dinner. Now I'm going to bed at a reasonable hour and take a melatonin. Don't forget your doggy bag. I love and respect you. I said goodnight. The January 6th committee has gotten a lot of information from reluctant witnesses because they've been willing to play a bit of hardball. Take former presidential aide Peter Navarro, seen here pointing to his worst enemy. Navarro, it's a good joke. Quality family joke.
That ain't fast.
Navarro was one of the ringleaders of the attempted coup, and we know that because he cleverly confessed the entire plot on national TV.
What I show in the In Trump Time book is that this plan we had called the Green Bay Sweep. The plan was simply this. We had over 100 congressmen and senators on Capitol Hill ready to implement the sweep. The sweep was simply that. We were going to challenge the results of the election in the 6 battleground states. At 1 p.m., Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, and Gosard, a representative, started the Green Bay sweep beautifully, challenging the results of Arizona. The remedy was for Vice President Pence, as the quarterback in the Green Bay sweep, to remand those votes back to the 6 battleground states.
Green Bay sweep. So Navarro thought he could admit to trying to overturn a fair election on national TV, and there'd be no consequences because he gave it a fun nickname? Officer, you can't arrest me. I didn't do anything illegal. I was just doing a little move I like to call the bebop step stab. A bebop step stab, bebop step stab, stabby step stab stab. Stab, stab, stab. Beep, beep, bop. Stab, stab, stab. Stab, stab, stab. Stab, stab. The committee thought, here's a crazy idea. Let's subpoena the guy who admitted to planning the crime. Now, Navarro refused to show up to their subpoena. So on Friday, Navarro was indicted and arrested on 2 counts of contempt of Congress. He was...
Oh,
this upset Navarro, and it also upset Texas Representative Louie Gohmert, seen here suddenly remembering where his fingers have been. After learning of Navarro's arrest, Gohmert actually said this.
It actually puts an exclamation point on the fact that we have a two-tier justice system. If you're a Republican, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to an FBI agent, or they're coming after you. They're going to bury you.
Nowadays, you can't even lie to Congress or lie to the FBI or hotwire a car, then drive that car to a bank and grab all the money at gunpoint and then head to the nearest zoo to throw rocks at the pandas. There's a two-tier justice system. One tier for the people who obey the law and a whole different tier for the people who break the law. How is that fair? Hold still, Ling Ling. Hold still. I winged him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wait, hold on a second. We're getting more breaking news. Okay, this is just in. Is this confirmed? He's just confirmed it. Louie Gohmert remains the dumbest man alive. So... So one party openly attacked our democracy and then bragged about it, but somehow they're not the ones with the low approval ratings. Because according to recent polls, President Biden's approval is worse than the former president's at this point in his presidency. Not great. But I know how to help. Mr. President, go out to the Rose Garden and stare directly into a solar eclipse. Don't ask me why, but for some reason, people like that better than infrastructure. Now, it turns out, behind the scenes, Biden is seething that his standing is now worse than the former president's, and I don't blame him. The last guy had terrible standing. He looks like a penguin with a loaded diaper. And now, And now President Biden's team is worried he could suffer the same one-term fate as Jimmy Carter. Of course, we all know there's a big difference between Biden and Carter. Somehow, Biden seems older. But the White House has a plan. Put Joe on the road to highlight progress being made and let Biden be Biden. Yes, we're getting some Joe classic. But cover your kids' ears, because Biden has been so frustrated, he's reportedly resorted to salty language. You darn Rudy toot-tootin', you donkey mouth, boxcar jumping trolley ponies. They tried to take Grandpa's keys away, but I found them tucked under a crocheted teddy bear TP cover. Just try and stop me, you taffy pulling a grass wrestling snarky malarkey clod of Ebbets Field sod. Your mother got stuck in her butter churn, your pappy smooches the Kaiser's pickle alba. Now, I'm hopping back in the Corvette. Wait, gas is how much? Who the f*** is the president?
More Late Show Poncho after this. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
John, I gotta say, it is really good to see you.
Yeah.
We have not spent much time on the stage together. I got COVID twice.
Yeah.
Then you got COVID.
Yeah.
And then you went and you shot the musical Color Purple.
The Color Purple
out in Los Angeles or something like that.
It's great. Great. It's a great experience.
What was that like? What were your scenes like? Did you?
I loved it. You know, I think I might get more into acting.
Oh.
I like it a lot. It was so cool to be on the set. I mean, you know, Taraji, they're pros, and Steven Spielberg and Oprah. It just was like daunting to walk into it.
Sure.
But then once I was there, I started to check out how it's put together. You've been on those sets. I've never been on a set like that. It was like a
I don't think I've been on a set like that.
It was like
there aren't a lot of sets like that.
I mean, man, it was incredible. They built a world, and then they had an alternate world that was indoors of the outdoor world. And it was just like every resource you could imagine to make a film.
Because it's Spielberg and Oprah.
And I was like, man.
They just built those worlds for fun, and they went, hey, we should do a movie in here.
It's like the indoor version, the outdoor version. It was like, let's do a movie with this.
I can't wait for people to see your part. You sent me some photos, and it was a fresh look.
That car
looked really
was cool,
good.
Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, John, it's wonderful to have you back. Good to see you.
Oh, man, thank Louis. Louis, man.
Louis leading the band. Louis, the band has been great. Of course, there's nothing like John Batiste, but Louis, you killed it while John was gone. Thank you so much for your leadership. John, we got some fantastic. Our dear friend Jake Tapper.
Oh, Jake is in the house.
I think his 11th.
Yes.
I think his 11th appearance on the show. Folks, longtime viewers of this show know that I am not normally a huge fan of the British royal family. Give me back my family's land. But given the desolate post-apocalyptic landscape that is the normal news, let's talk about the Queen. Lilibet took the throne at age 25 on February 6, 1952. So naturally, the Brits are celebrating her 70th anniversary in June. They were aiming for London's annual Day of Sunshine. Now, 70 years makes it the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, so I believe the traditional gift is to give her Africa. And boy, oh boy, did they do a to-do. The UK celebrated with a parade, a military flyover, a flotilla on the Thames, and a corgi drone display. It was the most high-profile example of British droning since any time Piers Morgan opens his mouth. Morgan's? Is it Morgan's or Morgan? It's Morgan. Okay. The Queen also took part in a pre-taped sketch featuring Paddington Bear. So lifelike. Same with Paddington. Now, Buckingham Palace explained the Queen's participation in the sketch, saying, Her Majesty is well known for her sense of humor. Oh, yes. Like that practical joke she played on Prince Charles. never dying. The festivities. Long may she wave, I say. Long may she wave. The festivities also included a hologram of a younger version of the Queen projected into a golden carriage. Nothing says you're healthy and doing fine like resorting to technology from Disney's Haunted Mansion. Her Majesty was also serenaded by the West End cast of Mamma Mia, who sang ABBA's song, Dancing Queen. Oh, yeah, Queen Elizabeth is known for her signature dance move. John, hit it. Of course, not every royal family member was amused by the celebration, like 4-year-old Prince Louis, who fidgeted, squirmed, and made faces throughout the event. His mother told him if he kept it up, his face would stick that way. And then as proof, she pointed to Prince Charles.
Oh, my God. Wow.
At one point, little Prince Louis seemed fed up with his mom and put his hand over her mouth to keep her from talking. He flailed around and did the classic thumb on the nosy. You tell me, you keep that up, young man, and no sticky toffee kidney pie for you. Now, the real surprise guest of the weekend was the Queen herself, who, after being absent from events on Friday and Saturday, appeared on the palace balcony for a brief but moving royal shamble, showing a classic British stiff upper lip, and really, stiff everything. So, Liz, here's to another 70 years. We salute you. We'll be right back with Jake Tapper.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is a journalist and an author who anchors The Lead and co-anchors State of the Union on CNN. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Jake Tapper.
I have a couple of college friends up there, and I want them to know, you couldn't see, but they were giving me a standing ovation.
Those are your college friends?
I have more than that, but that's two of them, yeah.
Two of them? Why? The guy on the right looks like he could be your son.
Well, when he gets the mask off, it's different.
I understand. All right, you're Mr. Politics.
Yeah.
I think they call you on your Wikipedia page. There's so much to talk about. Let's talk to something that is, it's looming, but may or may not be something. Following the tragic attacks, not only in Uvalde, but all across the country.
Sure.
So many mass shootings in the last 10 days.
One of them in Philadelphia, like literally half a mile from where I grew up, the South Street one. It's awful.
Chris Murphy and Cornyn have been assigned by Schumer and McConnell to come together in the Senate and come up with something. And the word is they've got something.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is other than the fact that it doesn't have background checks and it doesn't address, it doesn't reduce the number of automatic weapons, or semi-automatic
weapons.
It
won't, yeah. I don't know what's going to be in the final package. I do know that Republicans are eager for it to be something that can get not just 10 Republicans, but maybe 25 or 30 Republicans. They want it to be a big vote, a big bipartisan vote. So
anything been floated that you've heard Republicans willing to get behind?
Encouraging states to pass red flag laws, which would enable community members or the police to petition to prevent somebody from being able to purchase guns. This is something that actually has been shown to be very effective in Florida. They passed a red flag law after the horrible, Parkland shooting.
When Rick Scott was still the
Rick Scott was the governor. And one of our correspondents, Layla Santiago, just did a great piece, interviewed the Pasco County Sheriff there, and he talked about how great this law is. It keeps guns out of the hands of people who are not only would pose harm to other people, but to themselves. Mm-hmm. And she was in the courtroom, and there was somebody who had expressed suicidal ideation, and he was mourning his son who had died, and they took his gun. We saw the whole thing, and mm-hmm. it was to protect him. What about raising the age
for purchasing semi-automatic weapons? Have you heard anything about that?
I have not. I mean, it is an idea. Obviously, the gunman in Uvalde, the gunman in Parkland, the gunman in Buffalo, all were 18. There is a disproportionate amount of violence committed with semi-automatic weapons by men 18 to 21 mm-hmm. In that three-year age group. So that's something that's been floated. I don't know if that's going to be introduced. I don't know if it's going to pass. It was when Chris Murphy, when I interviewed him yesterday, I don't think he mentioned that when he talked about things that could theoretically be in the final product.
You were reporting when Columbine happened in 1999.
So. I went to Denver right after Columbine for the NRA convention in Denver, just days after. And it was so, you talk about grief a lot in your life, not necessarily here, but it's one of the things that you and President Biden talk about very movingly. This was flying into a city and you could feel the grief. I felt it. When I went to Parkland 1 week after the shooting, we did that town hall, and I walked into that arena, and you could feel just the despair, the utter despair. It's very difficult to convey to people.
Well, how, as someone who's covered this for so many years now, we forget that Columbine, besides being a extraordinary horror, was not a common event at the time, and it's become all too common in the last 23 years. How has the discussion of a gun, what's called sensible...
Common sense gun reform.
That's the phrase, common sense gun reform. How has that conversation changed in the last 23 years?
Well, first of all, I mean, what's very clear is that there is less willingness of Republican legislators to vote for it. And I think that is because there is much less willingness on the part of Republican voters to support it.
And how do you think that came about? Because in the 1990s, the assault weapons ban, that was a bipartisan bill, wasn't it?
Nine Republicans, including Republicans from states like Indiana, voted for that ban. There were nine. It was something that Republicans would be willing to vote for. I can't really explain it, but it is very clear that there is one political party that just is very reluctant, and I'm not even talking about the leaders as much as I am of the voters, to pass new laws on these things, except we did see in Florida, after Parkland, the Republican governor and Republican-dominated legislatures pass a very sweeping series of reforms that included raising the age from 18 to 21, a waiting period, red flag laws, making schools safer, more mm-hmm. school security, and a whole bunch of things. That really had an effect. And it might have been because the Parkland kids were so active and outspoken. Mm-hmm. I don't know what makes it different from today or Congress, except maybe you can't get in the face of a congressman as easily as you can get in the face of a state representative, maybe.
What I know you, in the best of all possible worlds, Congress is responsive to their voters. You're saying, like, it's the voters who won't allow them to do this. But 90% of Americans, and a vast majority of Republicans, want universal background checks.
Right.
But it doesn't happen. So that kind of flies in the face of, well, it's the voters.
Yes, except when you poll, you're polling the public. The public is not the same as the voters.
In the primary.
The voters are the people who turn out and vote.
I see.
The public are just all the people who exist. And so it is different. And then often there will be an issue that polls very well in a state, and then they have a referendum on that issue. And this just happened in Nevada and in Maine. And it becomes like a razor-thin margin of victory or defeat. Even though the issue polls, it's 70% or something.
Okay, let's go on to the next.
can I just say one more thing about guns, because this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, and that is, how do we cover it in the media? Are we covering it the right way? I don't know that we are, and the reason I say that is because, Stephen, you and I, when I wrote my book about Afghanistan, and you were on the other show on a different network, we talked about, you know, all the decisions I made when writing this book, and one of the decisions I made was, how graphic should I be when describing what happens to these service members in the book, in the pages, without pictures, but, like, how graphic should I be? And it was something I thought about a lot, and I think about it a lot when it comes to this, when it comes to gun violence, because it is so sanitized, the versions of the stories that we show people.
As horrified as we are, we're not actually seeing it.
We're not seeing anything. Think about how shocking it is in a local crime report when you see, like, a little bit of blood on the sidewalk.
Yes.
It's stunning. You never see that. Well, who are we protecting? I'm not calling for media to show anything that people, that family members don't want out there or whatever, but, you know, I asked my team, like, after the Uvalde shooting, and again, I understand why people are horrified. It's awful. But, I mean, are there images of ambulances? Are there images of body bags? Like, what is available? Because we're not doing the public a service by just describing what happened, and then all you see is a bunch of cops standing outside a building. And it's just ultimately so horrific. And I've said this a million times on my show. The adults of the United States are failing the children of the United States.
We have to take a quick break.
All right.
But when we come back, I will ask Jake about what to expect from the January 6th hearings starting this Thursday. Stick around.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
This Thursday, January 6th hearings kick off in primetime.
Yeah.
And your guys are covering it live.
Oh, yeah, I'll be anchoring it, man.
My fear is that we're going to learn a lot of proof about the things that we knew, as opposed to things that we didn't know that will change minds.
Well, first of all, I think it's very important that people understand this is not just about January 6th. It's not just about the people who stormed the Capitol. It is about them, especially those who weren't swept up in the moment but were part of a plan. Mm-hmm. But this is about a months-long strategy for Donald Trump and his supporters to do everything they could, because they were so desperate to hold on to power that they were willing to take away legal votes from American voters, that they voted, whether or not in the House of Representatives, there was an effort to disenfranchise the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and disenfranchise Arizona. There were votes on that. Now, maybe you're not from Arizona or Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania, so my mom and dad's vote was in that batch, and I don't like that. I don't like the fact that they wanted to take away my mom and dad's vote because they didn't like how the Commonwealth voted. This is about an effort to subvert democracy. So I just hope that whatever is presented in as compelling a way as possible, that this was not just a group of people that got a little bit rowdy and, you know, did some stupid things. This is about a strategy and a conspiracy.
This spring, you spent 2 weeks in Ukraine.
I did, in April, yeah.
Among other things, you interviewed President Zelensky.
Yes.
Over there.
Volodymyr Zelensky.
And you also celebrated a little Passover.
I did celebrate Passover. It was it was the first time I had not had a Seder in my entire life.
A one-man Seder.
I had a one-man Seder. Well, the local Orthodox rabbi, believe it or not, there is a local Orthodox. But there's one everywhere. When they land on Mars, there's going to be a Lubavitcher rabbi. Wait, welcome! he gave me a little Seder in a box. So yeah. I was able to do that. I gave some matzah, actually. Zelensky's Jewish. I don't think he's particularly observant. But Zelensky's Jewish. When I came for the interview, I gave him a box of matzah. And he was, thanks? I mean, I didn't. which was for anybody who ever has had matzah, the correct response.
Jake, wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.